So welcome everyone to another superhero training call, and we've got a very special guest this week, and absolutely stoked to welcome into the training at this point, Gerald O'Donnell, who is the founder of the Academy of Remote Viewing and Influencing, and is a very accomplished remote viewer in his own right, and through his experiences in remote viewing, he's accessed realms of reality that ordinary individuals do not have access to, certainly not in the normal waking state. And he's had extraordinarily powerful revelations in those realms, which has redefined his life, and he's now, in my opinion, a real champion for forces of goodness and light in this world, and helping many people see reality a little more clearly. And he's definitely helping us through his programs. I've personally been a student in his academy for the last four or five years. And we're introducing you now to Gerald, and this is a great opportunity to hear some tremendous wisdom from one of the most inspiring men that I know walking on the face of the earth today. So welcome, Gerald, and thank you very much for taking time out to be with us and join forces a little bit and bring your amazing energy and wisdom to the superhero training.
Thank you, Nick. It's a pleasure and an honor to be with you, and please do not make me blush ever again.
Okay, mate, I'll do my best.
Anyway, it's really a pleasure.
Wonderful, mate. Great. So why don't we just start, if we can, with a little review of your journey, because from what the little I can glean, it seems that you've, you were utilizing your gifts in a certain way up to a certain point in time, and then because of the experiences that you had, you changed tack very significantly in your life and started working in a completely different way. And I'd love you just to, if you would, just share a little bit about your own personal story and how you sort of evolved into this, or how you developed these abilities, or how you might have had them when you were a child or whatever, and just the sort of the evolution of the highlights of your journey. I think that'd be really inspiring for people, because obviously they're all on a journey as well, these people involved in our training listening to this call. And I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure this journey started in this lifetime. But if we concentrate on this lifetime, obviously, when I was very young, I felt a compulsion to look at the world from a little bit of a more detached and perspective, and somehow a higher perspective, because I couldn't really understand it really on the horizontal level. So I was always somehow an introspective child, I would say, and always tried to go within, and always felt this very strong connection spiritually to a creative force. I mean, that was from a very young age. And as life took on its path and journeys, I traveled many roads and visited many places and encountered many situations. I'm not going to go into all of them. The interesting thing is that I don't think there was a bifurcation. I think everything was meant to happen in the way by which it happened. As you all know, all steps that we take, even though we don't realize it, really have a deeper meaning than what we know it to be. We have choices in the paths we take, because there are many alternatives available to us. But in my case, I would say that the greatest shift happened around the late 1980s, when I was doing some pretty deep remote viewing work and inner work, and suddenly a great shift happened to me and some very high experiences. And from then on, it became quite obvious to me that I had accessed a realm which at least was there before, but not in my perspective, in a very conscious way. And from then on, I was able to operate on a different level and just get information which I had never been exposed to before, and that was a great jump in my consciousness and in my awareness. So in a nutshell, I would say it started really as a child, and that great jump happened in the late 80s.
Aha. And when you're accessing these higher realms of consciousness, did it take you a while to integrate those new energies and new vistas and new perspectives? Or were you able to sort of integrate them pretty swiftly?
I think I made a jump that was quite unusual, very fast, so therefore it was a little harder than usual to integrate. But whenever you make any kind of jump in consciousness, it's a dance of reality between you and your inner higher self.
Mm-hmm.
You're gifted a different view on things, a different perspective, and nothing is set in stone. And the whole idea is for you, when you get what you think answers to, so that the answer in reality is a new question and a new quest. So you never remain static.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole trip is about the trip. If you want life, it's about the trip of life. Not,
the journey.
Not necessarily, the journey, yes. And the destination is, of course, known, but the journey is the interesting part. So how we journey is always a dance between you and much higher levels of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And they shift. You shift, they shift, and as you shift, they shift more. And it's not only you. We always think of ourselves as we going to a higher level, but we don't realize that even our higher self is going to a higher level with us.
Mm-hmm.
He's traveling with us.
Yeah. Yeah, this is something that we emphasize a great deal on this training, and also really inspired I was in the early days by the Abraham Hicks work. Have you ever come across them?
Yes. Sure.
Yeah, and they're really very, very clear about that the higher self is evolving and moving and changing, and if you're not, if you the personality are not, then you're moving swiftly, then you're being left behind, and there's a lag time. You still there, Gerald?
Yeah, I'm there. Yes.
All right. Yeah, there's a lag time. There's in French, the décollage. How do we say that in English?
It's like ungluing, if you want.
Décollage.
Décollage. Yeah, it means two things. It means ungluing. It means also lifting. In other words, one part lifts faster than the other one. So there's a separation, greater separation between a part and the other.
Yeah. So there's a trend that the most powerful part of ourselves is pulling. And I personally feel that the lack of continuity between the actions of the personality and the vibrational status of the higher self, that friction there is a fundamental cause of stress and disease. And you know, anxiety and gnawing feelings of something's not right inside.
Yes.
And this is a very real thing that we're focusing more and more light on. And how, let's talk about a remote viewing course, your academy. Mm-hmm. How, in your experience, have you found that that's helped people reconcile these distinctly different parts of themselves?
Well, you know, it's exactly what you said. Is there is a conscious part to yourself, and then there is the unconscious part to yourself. And within the unconscious part of ourselves is the part that is really programming the conscious part, and then there is a part that's totally aware outside of the program, which is, some people call it the superconscious, or some other people will call it the universal consciousness, which is not subject to the programming, but it's somehow subject to your actions here because of the programming. And the more you open up in awareness to who you really are, which is basically the one, the more you open up to that reality that there's much more to you than just the human walking vehicle and the conscious universe or the conscious part here, the more you become more conscious of the deeper parts of yourself, the more you're able to realize that you have more control over the reality that surrounds you, or the more you are aware of what needs to be kept and what needs to be cleansed out and basically given back to the unconscious, to the superconscious,
mm-hmm.
because you do not want any more that groove or that program. I mean, you're ready to go to a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry?
No, I was. Did you want to finish that point there?
No, that's it. Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about the impact of doing this work and tie in a couple of things here. When I was studying, when I was researching some of the studies that had been done into DNA, mm-hmm. They did some stuff in Stanford University in the 1980s, and they came up with that term junk DNA
right.
out of those studies because they found that 98% of the genetic material and the energy potential in the genetic material that they could quantify in their studies, they could quantify it. They found that 98% of that energy, of that genetic material, was non-functional in what they call
right.
the normal waking state. 98%
right.
of our potential is not available in the normal waking state. So obviously, in the remote viewing and in all of the deeper inner stuff that we do, it requires this shift in state into these deeper levels of consciousness through the alpha states into theta and delta. Now, as I understand it, when we combine this shift in consciousness with a shift in attitude and a shift in our awareness in terms of our orientation to our own divinity
mm-hmm.
within,
yeah.
which I got a nice quote on that from Conversations with God with Neil Donald Walsh, where he called the DNA divine natural awareness.
Right.
So if we go into these deeper states of being, we adjust our awareness to commune within that divine natural awareness. And the attitude is shifted significantly as well, away from the normal waking state of the ego, judgment, and victim consciousness and all the rest of it that goes with that dysfunctional perspective into something much more unconditionally loving, compassionate, and what we use mainly from the Hawaiian culture is ho'oponopono, the sort of repeated vibrational attitude of I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's an integral part of Hawaiian culture, ho'oponopono, for the restoration of harmony, the restoration of righteousness. And
right.
so, as I understand it, when you start going deeper into yourself, shifting the orientation of your psyche towards your own divinity with an appropriate vibrational state, then suddenly this divine potential is actually flowing in to your cellular structure.
Yes, correct. Yeah. because it's basically again it's you know what the scientists were analyzing was basically they came in with the functionality, with the idea of analyzing the functionality of the DNA on the level which they were searching for, which means the level of the production of protein molecules and so forth. So they were interested to see how it's programming our biology. None of them was really seeking nor even potentially understanding that the DNA goes far beyond the biology. It influences your whole being, basically. It is, as you say, it's your divinity or your Lord within. You're talking, when you're talking to the DNA, you're really talking to the Lord within yourself. Not only on a biological level, but on a spiritual level. There are a lot of strands that are there also we can't see because they're vibrating so fast that no instrument, so to speak, could perceive them. So what I'm trying to get at is that you're talking to your whole self. And, of course, the part that's vibrating lower is more connected to the material world, and then, therefore, this is the part that they were decoding. But even within those parts, there are many, many parts in the so-called what they think is junk, which is not junk at all, which is just waiting to be awakened. As we bring our whole being into unity, into fulfillment, into completion, because then you start realizing that from a higher perspective, point of view and perspective, you are able to affect also your whole DNA. You become the Lord of your own creation, because it's you, it's nobody else. So when you said the Hawaiian philosophy is correct, when you say, you know, basically, who are you forgiving? You're forgiving yourself. You're never forgiving anybody else.
That's right.
You're only talking to yourself at that point.
Yeah.
You don't even have to say anything to anybody else. You're talking to yourself, because these are all aspects of yourself that are being reflected outside. There is nobody else but yourself.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm you, you're me. We are all mirrors of the same reality, but we are the mirrors watching each other. The reality is not seen.
Yeah.
He said the reality is what is mirroring itself on all those mirrors, and the mirrors are watching the other mirrors, not realizing that they are but mirroring a reality that's mirroring itself in all these perspectives and all these, all these facets. And each facet is watching another, apologizing to the other one or getting angry at the other, whatever the reaction is at that point, not realizing that it's basically himself. Or herself,
yeah.
Doesn't matter. There's no gender at that point.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah,
and that's,
absolutely.
That is what's so important, because when we start realizing that, as you say, we are the one in a reflective manner, then we are able to shift positioning and then change the mirroring aspects of our real self, which is the one. Meaning that you don't only remote view reality and look at the mirror across, you're starting to influence reality, because you are not only you and the mirror across, you are the one reflecting yourself across all the mirrors.
Absolutely.
And that's a big jump.
It's a huge one. It's a huge one. And let's talk about establishing the foundation for making that jump, because this little bit of information that they gifted us from Stanford in their quest for understanding, you know, more the mechanics of the biology, when they extracted the cells and looked at the DNA and the genetic material in there, then they found that if they influenced it with certain vibrational frequencies, it would change the coding sequences of the alkaline bases, would change their combinations, those and allow in you know, this dormant potential. So they could shift the whole structure of the cellular structure, the DNA, and the contents of the DNA, simply by affecting it with vibrational frequency. And this was the thing that released the potential was short wavelength, high frequency vibrational waves, short frequency, short wavelength, high frequency, which translates to feelings, high feelings of being in our physical body. This is why our attitude is so critical, and our mindset is absolutely critical, because if we're not feeling good about ourselves, about life, if we don't have a healthy vision in all those little innumerable little mirrors inside of ourselves, our own self-image is trapped in that small, distorted, egoic, frightened, confused, separate little false sense of self.
Right.
But if we can shift the whole thing within us, then obviously that is a great foundation for helping to shift the whole thing that appears to be around us as well. So if it is all a hologram, if we're living holograms, for the physical body is a living hologram in a gigantic holograph, how influential are we as individuals, Gerald? Just little old me over here in Hawaii and little old Gerald over there in Florida and all these, you know, individuals that are scattered around all over the globe, these handful. How powerful are individuals on their own, and how significant is this 100th monkey effect concept?
Right. There's a double question here. So I'll first address the first one. How significant you are you are as significant as you believe you are.
Haha.
That's it. Meaning if you this is exactly the opposite of ego-based belief. What I'm talking about, what I'm saying, you are as significant as you believe you are, meaning that if you realize that you are divinity expressed in a vehicle or a reflection of the divinity, and you are not the reflection. The reflection is the reaction to being the divine and how you perceive yourself in the act of being the divine. And then if you can shift and just realize that you are the divine and there is no billion divinities, there's just one divinity, then at that point, you would have made a shift from ego consciousness, which is believing in the mirror only and concentrating on the mirror and watching yourself in the morning in the mirror and seeing how the mirror is reflecting you, basically, because you think the world is reflecting you. You're trying to reflect, seeing your reflection in the world and seeing how beautiful you are. So you shift from that into perceiving yourself as being perfect. There's a difference between reflecting yourself with the idea of wanting to be more beautiful and more likable to the realization that you are already perfect because you're the one and there's nobody else. But when you start shifting that, you're jumping in the awareness beyond even the vibrational levels. It's not even a game of vibrations anymore, because understand that the whole game of vibration is still a game of status and levels.
Yeah.
That needed to be introduced in creation in order for creation to operate, because there has to be a certain order to creation. There has to be a certain level of operation as to what manifests into what controls what what level needs to do particularly what particular function, and what function will then control another function on a different level. This is the realm of creation. This is the realm of the reflections. It doesn't matter if they're even creators, they still are reflections. Any creator or sub-creator is a reflection of the divine. But the reality is beyond vibration. The reality is pure living light, which has, in reality, has no vibration. It's unvibratory. Do you understand?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, as you, we are doing our dance amongst the facets, going from vibrational level to vibrational level, and there is an automatic mechanism by which the DNA awakens itself. And when I mean the DNA, I mean the Lord within yourself, meaning that your whole being is starting to evolve and becoming more aware and more connected to the everything.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, there is a shift in realization when you're starting to realize that you are not just the vibration of consciousness. You're not even what we define as consciousness. You are beyond consciousness. You're just pure thought.
Mm-hmm.
Because consciousness is thought that has a vibratory or reflective element in front of itself and becomes aware of itself through the reflective element. That's what consciousness
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
The one that does not need to be reflected in order to realize its own existence.
Mm-hmm.
Only creation necessitates that. So at the level of creation, we have a different type of light, which is vibratory light, and that vibratory light is created at the level of consciousness now by vibrating consciousness. See, this is that the mythical ether that no one has ever found in physics yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because they when they see light, they say, well, there has to be a very dense, extremely dense element that we're vibrating on so that it can propagate at that speed. And if it would be that dense, how is it possible that it, you know, that we are moving in this world of light and can easily not feel, you know, easily and don't feel it, because it is not a dense element. It is consciousness per se, but with the background of pure thought. So therefore, when you realize that thought is the only reality, you realize that you have somehow, to a certain level, control over the keyboard of the computer. You can give instructions because you're thinking. And then you can start instructing your DNA, instructing your reality, which you do all day long anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because the superconscious is always manifesting who you think about yourself, what you think about yourself, and what desires fit the creative levels are above you.
Mm.
And that's only done through thought. So basically what you have in creation is a gigantic, infinite thought machine. That's it. There's nothing else. Do you understand? You're a point of awareness of thought for the one who is thinking on so many levels, but it's always the one. Do you understand?
Absolutely.
So that is the big shift that we have to do right now. We have to go from looking on the outside of ourselves at the manifest world, the created world, the physical, so to speak, world, which is in reality not physical at all, because it's all it is vibration of consciousness. It's just consciousness vibrating. Your DNA is not physical. It's consciousness vibrating. These are strands. You know, and we have to learn to turn back in our perspective and make the movement back now onto who we really are, not what we really are, because I am me and you are you and the chair is the chair. These are the functions that we are achieving here. But who we are is the same. We are the one. So we start turning back into perspective, and then we starting to look and mirror. Now we look at the one as the reality, and we start to mirror back to ourselves now our reality, which is that we are the one. And that brings oneness across creation. Because when you do this, no one is not you. It doesn't exist. You won't hurt yourself across creation. Why would you even want to do that? You don't want to control anybody. You don't want to overcome anything. You don't want to look in the mirror and try to show off to anybody or look prettier to anybody. Because that was when the whole emphasis was on the external, that's what was happening to us. And then most of the stuff was looking like junk because we didn't understand it. But it was not junk. It was just there so that when we turn back and look at the oneness, all of this is going to awaken and we're going to realize, all of us, that and all of our brain is going to awaken, all of our DNA is going to awaken, all of our beings are going to awaken, all of reality is going to show itself to us because we are going to focus on who we really are, which is the divine. Basically, we're going to turn back looking at ourselves, a real self. And that's the big shift that's already engaged anyway. And the chaos you see right now is because of that turnaround. As the turnaround is happening and needs to happen, because the one is still the only reality. We are all thought processes within the one. But the one is only one. So he's like looking at all of his thought processes as you, as being one thought process, me and everybody else, and he has to fit his thought process now within unison. It has to be within harmony because he's becoming one within himself, if you want. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So he can only allow now parts that are operating in oneness to operate, but he understands that because he allowed the parts to believe in the reflection of the mirror against another mirror and not seeing what's in between the mirror, which is the one, he understands that this is not going to be immediate. So, of course, there is infinite love and infinite patience in allowing us to shift, and we're all trying to make this shift. But as the shift is happening, a lot of the structures that were based on separation, competition, exploitation, and so on and so forth, enslaving of one or the other, and violence, are having a very difficult time and are falling apart, and it will totally disappear. They can't be functioning when we do this turnaround. That's the shift of the pole.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the playing field that we're on.
Yeah.
In terms of the dark matrix.
Yeah.
As I understand it, we are born into the upper level of the dark matrix, and it's kind of like a training ground or a kindergarten for creators to develop their abilities to master their creative energies.
Yeah.
And this has gone for a very long time.
Yeah.
And the dark matrix, the matrix has developed a nature of its own and got a little out of control.
Correct.
And there are, opposing forces playing their part in all of this, and things can be very challenging for individuals walking on the path, trying to achieve these high levels of being and exist in this state of oneness. And I just wanted to ask you from your own personal experiences, because I know we talked about this the other day, the difference in you before you went to Jerusalem and when you came back in terms of the liberation and just, the joy that I experienced running through your being and the sort of the oppressive presence of certain influences or entities that were making life difficult for you. Can we just talk a little bit about the playing field, the nature of the dark matrix, this upper level that we're in, what are the consequences of going into this deeper into this light, the pure thought realms, and acknowledging our oneness?
Right. Okay, let me explain to you first of all what we all have Jerusalem within.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think in Psalm 116, King David is saying that Jerusalem is really within me. It's never been translated, even from Hebrew to any Greek or then further European language. But that's what he said in the original. Because what does it mean you have Jerusalem within? It means that you have completion within yourself. That's what Jerusalem means in reality. It means completion and peace. It means that all the levels are within you. You are the one. But you are going to this illusion of vibratory levels, and you are on somehow on a low vibratory hum that allows for this impression or illusion of three-dimensionality to exist for us, so we can play our story, because we're really here playing out a story. You know, we take it as serious, but it's, as you say, it's both a training ground, but it's an evolution of consciousness. It's a distillation of consciousness. It's the only way by which the movement of creation, you know, from expansion to contraction can exist and happen. So you are the Jerusalem within, but you're not aware of it. The earth, or if you call it this universe, because in this universe, the earth is the central point. Even though the other so-called, you know, extra universes are really parallel, they're on parallel vibrations. They're not on this exact vibration.
I understand.
You understand? And there they become the center of, they have their own center universe, a center point of universe. They can cross, you know, the reality, but it's different. So on this universe, the earth is the gigantic being of which we are the children of. Because we come up, we are born, and then we, so to speak, go back to dust when our story is done. We you know, told our tale and expressed our expression and understood what we managed to understand. So the earth has also within itself, its gigantic, beautiful being, it has this connection and awareness of being the one. It has its own Jerusalem. But since the earth, for our realm, is a, so to speak, three-dimensional being, it will have this connection in the three-dimensionality in a certain area of the three-dimensionality. You understand? You follow?
Yeah.
So within this that realm, the city of Jerusalem is where it's been gifted, you know, because so that we can align ourselves to the vibration of the light of the one, which is, I'd say again, is outside of vibration. This is the only place when you can really align yourself to the infinite eternal light. And what's interesting is that infinite eternal light can manifest itself as light, but it can also manifest itself as darkness, because in reality, all it is pure thought. This is powerful, what I'm saying. Do you understand? It's pure thought. It's everything. It's the everything. So it's like if we look at, imagine the Tao sign, and you have this gigantic surrounding area of darkness, which is the one too. And then you have the very core of pure light inside manifested as light. Why? Because it's pure enlightenment. It's pure awareness. It is aware of all of its parts. But that's inside the core, as what we will call the white inner gigantic sun, S-O-N and S-U-N, that we all carry. So when you are watching creation and you are within the dark area, you have a hard time, if you don't even looking on the inner sun, you have a hard time understanding what is really happening, why situations are evolving the way they are, and so on and so forth. And since we're all creatures of thought, all of us, and our thoughts are the thoughts of the one, but on a restricted level, but they're still the thoughts of the one. And since thought is the only reality, thought is eternal. The only reality that's really eternal is thought. A thought does not disappear. And that's why they call them thought forms. And the only one that can really take away a thought form is therefore the one, because he's all the thought, and he can decide, I will not think about this anymore, because it's still part of my being. The thought cannot float into nothingness. It's floating within the one. So the one will say, this part of my thought processes, I will not allow it to be, and I'm not energizing it anymore, and it's just gone. And we are also thought processes within the one, but there are free-floating thoughts. Some of them are energy beings. Some of them are just thought forms that we have created, and we energize somehow and we bring them to ourselves. This marasm of thoughts and behavior patterns that we have had as humanity is what I call
the dark cloud, which is somehow different from the Matrix. So the Matrix was not created to be dark. It just turned out to be dark when it started reflecting more of itself than reflecting the reality of the core enlightenment of the one that it has within itself but doesn't see yet. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Because that the dark matrix has an awareness of originating from the one, but it does not realize that the one is itself and is living within itself. And it is not showing itself as pure light because the dark matrix is in a non-enlightenment state. But that light will show itself. And the connection, if you want, in the three-dimensional world for the pure vibration of light, which is untouchable because that is not affected by vibrations, is not affected by your thoughts. It is the eternal life energy, if you want, of creation.
Mm-hmm.
That plug, you know, if you want, in the big thought machine that the Earth is, that of which we originate from as children of the Earth,
mm-hmm.
that plug is in the city of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And there is fear running creation. And the fear mm-hmm. comes from the unenlightened side. The unenlightened side is afraid of being enlightened. It is afraid of awakening because it is afraid of a couple of things. It is afraid of losing control over what it thinks it owns and controls. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Which for it is a false idea of power, and it is also afraid of losing itself within the one, thinking that it will lose its sense of individuality, which is a wrong impression, but it nevertheless is there. It's a fear of death.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the element that operates death is more afraid of death than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But by death, I don't mean dying and going to the darkness. I mean dying and going to the light. So it's
mm-hmm.
exactly like in the story of the Plato's cave. Everybody is in a cage. The door is open. It's behind you. You can get out. And we are all enslaved in the cage, but there is no door. You can just walk out of it. All you have
mm-hmm.
to do is turn back, look backwards, see who you really are, not the story that you're watching. Go.
Mm-hmm.
The enlightenment is in you. You carry this. You have to go turn around and look at yourself, look within yourself. And then you're free.
So let's talk about that movement there. Because as I understand it, the cave, the way Plato represented it, it's been represented by many, many philosophers and individuals writing on this subject. And it's represented as a cave or a prison or something. And it also, it's a motif that it's a perennial motif in all the mythological stories as well, or a great deal. All the most significant mythological stories communicate this same sort of motif where something is imprisoned or has been captured or is trapped, or is enchanted, has fallen into under the spell of enchantment. These kinds of things are constantly communicated through these cultural mythologies as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the practical movement through this, what I feel is a vibrational door or a vibrational prison. It's made of thought forms that are based on a false sense of self, and the disharmonious attitude and feeling states that go with that, to imprison that isolated sense of consciousness in a behind a vibrational firewall. And I feel that your work goes a great it helps us easily slip through that firewall into these different states of consciousness that are where we can experience much, much more freedom and an actual reality of who we are. So let's talk about that, Gerald, that how significant that movement is. I mean, just the very simple movement of shifting your state of consciousness. Most people never access theta in a conscious state. Let's talk about navigating those levels of consciousness and how significant that is to moving through that door, that invisible door, that wall of vibrational thought or whatever it is.
Yeah, because again, we are manifesting a human side to God. We are the extension of God playing humans. We are himself and what he calls his children playing humans. At our level, we have human thoughts, of course, and we operate within a human program. The human program has been defined within the vibratory realm of creation, and it's a definite program, and it's also acting within what we call the matrix of operation of this creation, which is, you know, natural laws and there are ley lines and a whole bunch of vibrational things that we don't even realize are here in order for us to get this perception of three-dimensionality. But as we operate within this world, and we're operating in this perceptual three-dimensional reality, we are subject to a filtering process of our divinity to change us into humans. Because if we realize we're divine, then we wouldn't operate at all in this world. We would just leave it, because we are in reality. We have no boundaries. There is no cage. We can just leave this realm in a thought. Because that's all there is thought. So the brain is affecting this. It's a genius idea. It's connecting a holographic brain in reality, which doesn't exist in matter, but it's a holographic program that is attached to your point of awareness within the gigantic thought processes of the One, and you become suddenly a human. But in order to coordinate all the stories of the humans put together with nature and so forth, there needs to be what we call these lattice of operation, people call it a matrix of operation, that allows us to have this interaction between my world and your world. Because I'm carrying my little bubble world of reality and you're carrying your little bubble world, but we interact and we can mix, you know, see each other, say hello, touch each other. That's all this is possible. When you start bringing the vibration of the filtering process and a bit lower in the brain as far as brain waves, you allow for a easier connection to levels of thought which are in the subconscious area of your mind. As we know, the deeper we go in so-called theta, delta, the more we access the subconscious. And since the subconscious area, especially when you go very deep, is connected to levels of what I call the divine or the superconscious, you can then easily connect to the superconscious. So you basically are turning around when you do that, and you're not looking only at the wall, of the play of the shadows. Mm-hmm. You're starting to have one eye, at least, one perspective looking inward or upward, because the inward is really upward. When you go within, you're climbing up. You realize a lot of books say climbing down. They use the word climbing down your awareness, because you're climbing up in awareness when you're going down. So because you're opening yourself up. All up means an opening to enlightenment, to being aware.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point or another, the light of Jerusalem shows up in yourself. You become realize that you are all of it. That's what Jerusalem really means. Shalem in Hebrew means perfection and completion, means that you are all of it. So you become aware that, oh my God, I'm the One. But it does not mean that you let go of your humanness either. You are all the levels. Now you are at peace. No one is attacking you anymore. You understand the game. You understand that not only do you understand the game, you understand that you have control over that game. You understand the purpose of the game. And you have fun. Because creation was never meant to be painful, cruel, and laden with suffering. There was the knowledge that it may lead to that if it's left to go in this separative direction for so long. But it's not the purpose of it. It's never been the purpose of it. If we are the One, why would the One be a masochistic entity. It doesn't
That's
make
right.
any sense. Because when we experience joy, the one is experiencing joy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all the one wants to experience. But he's following his program, and he's somehow stuck by the program because we have to awaken. We are him. We're the parts of himself that we need to awaken. So he sends messages. He sends, technologies. He sends all kind of enlightenment bolt, if you want.
Mm-hmm.
So that we shake ourselves out of our static complacency in doing what we're doing and repeating our grooves forever from father to son and mother to daughter and so forth. We have to stop this, and it's always the hope that we're going to realize. The fact is right now, the way the creation is right now, we need to awaken our inner Jerusalem, realizing that we are all the one,
mm-hmm.
meaning that we are one. We are the mirrors of the one. We are just thought. We never die. We just have this brain, if you want, or program of humanness disconnected at some point, and then you go, wow, it was just a holographic movie. You know, it was interesting story, but that's not who I am. You become the one again. But while this is going on, we have to align. Now, we can align within, and we need to align within, but to align totally, because when we start aligning within, the first level we align to is a vibrational level, and that's the level of the universal mind of mankind, where we all connect
mm-hmm.
to also as one. We're all the children of the earth. So we connect to that gigantic, beautiful consciousness of the earth, and we become all the children of the earth, and we feel it, and then we have this love flowing across to ourselves, because we realize that no matter what background, what religion, what culture, or what geographical area we are from, we are all the same. It doesn't matter. The fact we look different is an illusion. It's totally irrelevant. That's part of the programming of the DNA to make us look different on purpose. But when we are given in the physical city of Jerusalem, there is the connection, straight connection, to the level beyond even the universal consciousness of mankind, the level of the everything where all creations connect.
Mm.
And that level is as pure as can be. So if you align yourself to that level, all the darkness in you is just gone because you have fulfilled your completion. Everything that was fear, darkness, hurt, injury, dis-ease, disappears immediately. It cannot exist in that level. And all the parts of your DNA that you say are here and were dormant awaken immediately. And repair is done to you, and then repair is done to your creation, to your bubble reality. Everything starts repairing itself. All the damage to the earth, every single damage you can think of gets repaired because we are aligning to the pure unvibratory light of the one that then manifests itself as enlightenment and as light. Because before it was still there, but it was manifesting itself as darkness, which means a lack of awareness on purpose so that we have a trip. Because who is having the trip in reality? It's the one. The one is awakening. You follow me?
Absolutely. It's a beautiful story.
And we are all playing the story as the one, for the one, for we are all the one. And all the elements that you seem to think are here to hurt you and provoke you and aggress you are just manifestations of where we are at now, where we have gotten to now. And in some ways, they are your friends because of them and because of the chaos they bring, they are forcing all of us to take a new look upon ourselves and ask, who are we? What is this all about? How did we even get to this level? They are forcing us to awaken, to enlighten ourselves, and to go back to the idea that we are all the one. And when we do that, you will see all these elements joining in. Of course they'll join in. Because they are the one too. And we have so much more power than we are not even aware of. That's why when I go to the Jerusalem, when you go to Jerusalem, in the city of Jerusalem, there's a Temple Mount, and there's this energy of the one streaming that you can connect to, and if you are connected within to the core of yourself as the universal consciousness of the earth, if you're connected and you're in total center, and you ask to connect to the totality of the one, you will connect. If you're not aligned yet, you will have more difficulties in filling it, which is why some people that come there because of the energy being so strong have problems adjusting to it. Because this is infinite energy. This is infinite thought in reality. It's everything. But you have also the elements of what we call the underworld, the valley of the shadow of the death, if you want, what they call hell, is in the map of Jerusalem. It's in Jerusalem, next to Jerusalem. So it's a point of contact between what people used to call the underworld and the higher world. It's a very important point. And because of that, that point can be either, in a smooth evolutionary process where you have less enlightened beings ready to go to more enlightenment, or it could become a point of clash because we are not doing what we're supposed to do, which means to be the conduct between all the parts that are dark within ourselves and the parts that are totally enlightened within ourselves, because we're not aware of either or, very, as a matter of fact. We're not aware of a dark side, we're not even aware of a light side. We're just walking the earth. But when we become aware of that and we accept to be the vessel that will align all this, we are basically correcting the whole creation. That's the act of correcting all of creation by aligning yourself, because you are doing a work of thought upon thought. There is nothing else than thought. It's a very difficult work. I've gone through a lot of situations, including some very hairy, dangerous situations. This is the work that the man called Jesus did a long time ago, and he was stopped. This is the work of anybody that wants to help creation should do right now. They have, because we are all the one. There is no superior one nor inferior one. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. Everybody is the one. There is no R. There's only one being reflecting itself into so many reflections. And each reflection needs to understand why it's here. It's not to look at itself in another mirror and be obsessed with it and see itself through what the other mirror is saying about you or how you see yourself in the other mirror. You understand? This is not what life is about. Life is about who you are and how you can align with the totality of the greatness of who you are, and you can do it with an act of thought. It's a shift in thought. And in order to do the shift, you have to understand the mechanism of creation, the purpose of creation, and who you are. And when you do this, that's it. The whole creation turns around, darkness almost miraculously disappears, chaos goes away by the wayside. Everything gets stabilized. All the, needs are going to be given to us, of course, because we are at that point so connected that our intelligence and our enlightenment is gigantic. It's not almost human intelligence; it's divine intelligence being manifest. And we are right at the cusp. That's why those times are so important, because many of us are extremely tired because of the chaos. Because of what we have undergone, not only in this creation, but in past encounters with this creation, because of the level of clashes, if you want, between the dark thoughts, not the dark, not the unvibratory one that's dark. I'm talking about the dark thoughts floating in this creation, or dark entities that are still so much bent into control of what they cannot control anymore, because they realize everything is going to smithereens as far as their structures are concerned. but they want to hold on to that. You know, it's like they think that they have this is like a life, you know, a life lifeboat that they're trying to grab onto, and it's an illusion. They won't drown and be killed in the ocean. They're going to become who they really are and be turn around and be beautiful light beings. But it's our job, to try to convince them and explain to them that we love them, and then they are not at risk. They're not, nothing is threatening them. That everything is one. Everything is one. There's no multiple religion. There is no religion. There is no multiple colors. That's only reflections, looking at reflections. This is the magnificent experience of the one when the one decided to do a kaleidoscope of reflection and see what will happen when he programs, as you say, the DNA in a low vibratory manner. So we have different perspectives, different colors, different genetics, different such and such. You know, the creatures look different. So that he can have this experience of the many, because otherwise the one could never experience what it is like to be the many, because he is the many. So my advice is do not focus on the past, on the scars. Do not focus on who hurt who, what civilization did what to what civilization, what so-called extra civilization came in here and affected what energy is still affecting. That is not what's important. You can do it on yourself by just focusing on the one. Because that energy, when you're aligned to it, nothing can enter it. That is not in alignment with it. Because at that point, you're aligned to the one, totally with the one. There is no shades of colors. There's no vibrations. It affects your vibration. It will balance all of your vibrations. It will enlighten your DNA and balance you out in your whole energy body. It will rejuvenate. You will live for, I don't know, I can't even tell you. I mean, you live for a long, long time. We were never meant to live only 80 years or 70 years or 120, so to speak, as the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
That's only because of the fall of us, if you want to call the fall of Adam, or the fall of mankind, into an unenlightened state that has happened.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So it all boils down to basically the two commandments that Jesus boiled the hundreds, more than 100 that they had at the time, when he said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart and mind and soul, and
right.
Love everyone yourself.
Yes,
in
those two commandments are one. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I just love the one and accept that we are the one.
Yeah, he was basically, when he says that, what is he saying? He's saying, when you love the one across as yourself, first of all, that's when you connect to the universal consciousness of mankind, first level, to your Jerusalem. You're connecting across, and you realize that the one across, even if you perceive him as being evil, because in Hebrew the word for across, your neighbor or your love is ra, which means evil. So love the one across that you think is different from you, and then you think that different is not good, anything that's different is not good, as yourself, because it is yourself. There is none but yourself. And then you connect to the universal mind of mankind, which is your inner Jerusalem, and you are at peace across, and then go across to the center point of the real Jerusalem, if you want, and connect to the one that goes across all creations, everywhere and beyond any creation, which means, and have that perception and that focus in your mind at all times. Stay focused on that. And it will change you, and it will eradicate all the problems, any problem. No problem will be eradicated by going to committees or technologies or inventing new things. That's not the point. That's not going to eradicate anything. It will palliate. It's like modern medicine. It will take away the syndromes, but it's not going to take away the cause.
Mm-hmm.
Here we're talking about taking away the cause of the problem. And if we do this, And we understand that those two commandments are really one in reality. Which those two commandments mean realize that you are the one. Realize the one across you is the one. Realize there is nothing else but the one manifesting himself or itself into all these reflected mirrors so that the one can have the perception of the many. And realize how powerful that is when you realize that.
Amazing.
Because the power of the one is available to you now. Because all you are is thought, nothing else. You are not a biology. You're certainly not a personality. You're a thought. You're a point of thought, holy thought into the one. And that's what needs to be achieved. And that's the one and only solution, really, right now. And that's why all this gigantic fight around Jerusalem is happening. Because the fear coming from the thought forms or thought levels that are afraid of enlightenment yet, because they still operate within the idea of guilt. Believe it or not, most of those dark form thought forms are not afraid so much of the one, but they're afraid of punishment. They operate within the idea of punishment. They think the one will punish them. They don't realize that they are the one. The one will never punish himself. He may decide to take a thought form, a thought process, and have to take it off from his mind because it's not allowing for the rest of the mind to unify. That's something else. But not to punish it. But since they have this fear of punishment and guilt and so forth, or they think that they still can hold on to this reality for longer, they're fighting, and they don't want this oneness to be manifested either within, so they cover with a cover of darkness, if you want, the light within, which we are not perceiving yet, and then they cover with a cover of darkness the light of the one within the outer Jerusalem that we are not perceiving yet. Because when we are going to do that shift, Jerusalem is going to have a beam of light streaming up that will never be extinguished. And it's not going to be vibratory light.
Wow. Wow. Amazing, bro. Well, I'm sure everyone is feeling the power of this conversation, because I certainly am. It's just incredible. The truth is a living energy, the living truth from the living God, G-O-D.
Yes.
Harold O'Donnell in the flesh, baby.
I have an apostrophe. Don't take the apostrophe away.
Okay, sorry. Mike and I were cracking ourselves up. We just did the synchronicities of that the other day. It was just, Yeah, we love it, mate. We love it. The one, the one, the one, the one. Unity consciousness, it's spoken about in Love Without End, Jesus Speaks. Unity consciousness is the number one thing, foundation. And we're so big in the superhero trend on getting the foundation right. So
I know, I know.
People in the New Age movement just charging off into all these fantasy lands of spiritual this and that, without any real solid foundation at all. And there's so much confusion in the world. And I just want to ask you now, you obviously do a lot of traveling, you still do. I do a lot of traveling myself. And, you know, my eyes are open, and I see, I have always had wonderful positive experiences wherever I go. I feel traveling really reaffirms your faith in basic human goodness. People are kind and generous and helpful all over the world, and I feel travel is a great way of proving that to yourself or reinforcing it. But I can't help but see you know, so much division, so many people just absolutely dissociated from this state of being, from this level of consciousness or awareness or just this experience of at-one-ment, atonement. And it seems that the powers that be that have the most to lose or feel that they have the most to lose from maintaining this illusory reality based on all this separation and judgment and what have you. It seems that those powers are kind of working overtime at the moment and throwing some big cards down, playing some very powerful cards this time, and creating more confusion, more fear. And how do you personally see things unfolding over the next few months, this next year, and beyond, Gerald?
Well, and you know, everything is dynamic. It's not static. So when I connect to the one and I ask him for what may happen, the general guidance is given. But since we are co-player as the one, we are the parts that form the many here, and we have free will. Nothing is set in stone. So what I perceive right now is that this movement, which has started being engaged in reality, maybe I would say in the 1970s, you know, when we, especially the youth, started unifying and then trying to reverse the old movement that had been based on just corporatism and money and so on and so forth. And there have been ups and downs and ups and downs and ups and downs. Right now, within the phenomenal world, within our reality, our reality is really existing by the grace of God. Our economy is not kept alive by our intelligence or whatever organization you think is behind. It's kept somehow floating by the grace of God. The poisoning of the ocean by radioactivity and a major release that's still happening and especially happened recently have been devibrated in great part by the grace of God. And what happened in the Gulf, a large part of it has been devibrated by the grace of God because he loves us.
Mm.
The act that we did was done by the dark side of ourselves, either through human being or through other forces behind us. It's still dark. We're still fighting for this. Who would not have a problem if, you know, a good part of humanity wouldn't exist?
Mm-hmm.
But that is not the plan of the one, because no matter, we are thinking elements within the one, therefore he knows our thoughts, and he wants, since he's pure thought, he's thinking, he's allowing us free will, but it doesn't mean that he needs to allow it forever, because we are him. So he can start thinking for us too. So you could suddenly have someone that is running a corporation that turns into a hippie and decides he's going to start, you know, go off on the farm and do some organic farming. I mean, anything is possible. It's only a decision on the level of the one. All I know is that we should not worry right now. We are going to be facing the brink on many levels. I know it's going to get worse. But that's only as a lesson for us, because we eventually are going to become creators. That's the whole idea.
Mm.
We are going to be gifted more than just being human beings. We're going to have, there are billions of creations. We're going to be gifted creations, literally. And we have to have had the memory, first in the flesh, later on as energy beings, as higher self. And just all this is happening at the same time, because you have a higher self too. So all these experiences are happening on your multidimensional self at the same time. We need to have had all these experiences of a loss of control, of and the basically the experience of what fear of the one engenders, because that's the only fear we have, is the fear of oneness, the fear of love. It sounds ridiculous, but people are more afraid of love than anything else. They're more afraid of oneness and of one than anything else. And we have to have this imprinted strongly, as we already have. And we don't have to worry, because the one is saying he will intervene. He's going to take care of things that we cannot do. I mean, he's aware of how far we can do things and how far we cannot. So he's going to bring somehow balance. So when in the darkest of night, when chaos is going to be the most incredible, do not please go take a gun and start shooting your neighbor, because you understand that's not what we need to do. It's the opposite. We're going to have to be in faith, knowing that a new world is coming, focusing on the one, calling each other, making a parallel matrix of light beings connecting all across the universe. We're going to have to travel light, and I don't mean only light with a small suitcase. I mean light in letting go of all the stories we have in our minds and all the past hurt and structures we are holding on to. People are holding on to structures. And let the new one, the new world come in, because we have no idea what the one has written for us and what new world he's dreaming for us now, which is really paradise. And the world will not get destroyed. Not at the end of 2012, and never, unless the one wants it. But I don't think the one wants it. Why would he have created all this if you would let it go to destruction?
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. Yay, hallelujah, brother, hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah, exactly.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was inspiring listening to those words, and I was getting all kinds of little visual images of just the dynamics, the astronomical dynamics that are involved, the astronomical forces and pressures and dynamics that are involved as we embrace this perspective on reality, and how empowering that is and how maturing it is. In terms of gifting us the ability to deal with our own power, to acknowledge the enormity of how powerful we are, is a wonderful, wonderful,
right.
wonderful feeling. And of course, the dynamics are. It seems to be everything seems to be increasing in intensity at the same time. The more disassociated you are from this oneness, the graver the consequences, and the swifter the consequences, and the more intense the consequences, and the more relief there is in aligning. It's so wonderful just coming into that unity consciousness. It's absolutely beautiful. I really want to thank you, Gerald, especially for the way we rounded that off there with...
And Nick, you really said it. What you said is so important right now. It's so, so important. People notice now, and I don't care who, anybody that's functioning in creation notices, the more you misalign yourself with this concept, the more consequences, painful consequences there are to you. And this is happening at the level of the individual, level of groupings or corporations or anything. And this is the rule, because it's not a question of, there's no judgment. It's not about good and evil. It's about, you have a free will to do anything you want, but there are consequences to your actions. Any action has consequences. And you're free to do anything you want, but these are the consequences. They are shown to us very strongly now on purpose, so that we almost have this compass within. And then as you experience, and anybody that's listening, I would like them to try for a while to experience, express yourself within oneness and bring the compass, you know, closer to oneness. And you will suddenly see your life shifting all over. And then if you, again, you know, you drift away, you're going to notice that chaos is going to be your friend again or your enemy. Mm-hmm. And this is the way it's going to operate constantly. And that goes on for any structure, government to individual.
Mm-hmm.
And planetary too. So this is the way by which we have to operate, and it's immediately gifted. If you go into oneness, things just happen around you, and you're suddenly gifted things that you couldn't believe it, and you feel at peace, which is the most important thing anyway, and joyful.
Mm. Yeah. So one quick question.
Sure.
Another good friend of mine is a guy called David Wilcock. Are you familiar with his work?
Yes, not really closely, but I'm familiar with him, yes.
Okay, so David Wilcock, he basically, for a long time, his favorite topic has been we say that, you know, beings from other realms, beings
right.
from other worlds,
right.
star civilizations and visitors to this world, but high vibratory individuals that are kind of, from his perspective, are ambassadors of and doing the work of the one, the will of God, so to speak,
yes.
in certain respects. And just lately, he's been reporting that many of the drones, the unmanned, bomber planes that the Americans have been sending over into various countries,
mm-hmm.
Have been interfered with their electronic systems, and these things have been malfunctioning and crash landing all over the place.
Right.
And Wilcock has been promoting that this has been assisted by star beings, being extraterrestrials, higher civilizations with higher levels of technology. And this is a subject that has been repeatedly reported, certainly through the work of Dr. Stephen Greer and the Disclosure Project, and many, 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 many individuals that he's brought through that were in government institutions, working for NASA, certain aerospace companies, pilots, astronauts, all kinds of like high-level professional people, military people, admirals, and various other individuals, basically reiterating that kind of theme. And I just wondered if you had any experience or a comment on that subject.
You mean personal experiences?
Yeah, just maybe your personal experience, but just your point of view
look, the process of unification is happening within the totality of the one, and no one is spared that process. No one.
Yeah.
No, so what you perceive as civilizations are just areas of the mind of the one.
Yeah.
An area. It's not a geographical area. It's an area of the mind that operates within certain rules and operates within the mind. And the whole mind of the total one, not only this creation of this universe, the whole mind now is doing a shift. It's more than, you know, it's beyond almost cosmic. It's doing that shift, and no one is out of that shift. So of course they are all involved in their own shift, and they're all involved in helping when they can. These are civilizations that are able to help us. They will do what they can to help us. Most of what they do is not seen, because most of those civilizations have within their higher planes creators behind them, which I'm familiar with. You understand? Real creators,
yeah.
And well, what some people will call sub-creators, that take care of these civilizations on an energy level and on a creative level. And these creators are operating, of course, within their creation, but of course within all the other creations, and trying to solve the problems of dysfunctionality of the mind of the one right now, which is a great problem that needs to be addressed. So yes, I'm not aware specifically of what happened here, because this is not what I follow. But there's a great possibility that even things like this will happen. There will be interference in you know, someone wanting to launch a nuclear missile or something like this.
Yeah.
I'm almost sure they
yeah.
will be, by the way, you know. So it can be done from a level what we perceive as semi-material, technological, or it could be done straight from the mind of the one. You know, there will be a dysfunction, and it just doesn't work. Because anything that we think is technology in reality is operating within the mind of the one.
Mm.
And it could malfunction.
Mm.
Easily. That's not difficult at all. I've had experiences personally with the one when there was something, some conflict in the Middle East, and he would show me, he would say, watch this, it's going to, instead of falling where it's supposed to fall here, I'm going to make it fall into the Mediterranean Sea, and the missile just disappeared and went into the Mediterranean Sea.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all happening within its own mind. You can do it. Of course you can do it.
Mm.
So I wouldn't worry about this. I'm telling you, I'm asking people not to panic, but I'm asking them, please, 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 please. It's very easy. Just love your neighbor like yourself,
mm-hmm.
and focus on the one. Nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And you're fine. He was told 2,000 years ago. He was told 3,500 years ago, and it's told to us now again. This is the key. We need to do it.
Yeah.
And it's easy. It's fun. It's loving. You're gonna have more friends. You're gonna have more relationship. People will love you. You'll be enjoying. What? Why say no to being enjoy?
Yeah. It's so wonderful that the consequences, because everything seems to be speeding up. Everything just happens. It seems to be happening so fast. This dissociation, the consequences of that, the impact of that, virtually immediate. And so the other side as well, when we align and we choose to live in these higher octaves of harmony, life is absolutely wonderful. It's a magical, wonderful journey full of amazing synchronicities. And, it's liberation. It's the best ever. It's how we're supposed to be living, and it's such a joy. But one thing I did want to say, one of the reasons I feel why fear of the one, fear of punishment, and just that, and that almost that instinct kicks in, is because so much when we approach those high levels of consciousness or in the presence of higher beings that exist in that state of consciousness, it catalyzes an eruption of toxic psychic content, and many individuals find it very challenging to integrate that swiftly and instantaneously, and that can translate to fear and pure terror and extreme resistance to that process.
Yeah, Nick, what you've just said now is, I think, should be the subject of a full interview, because it's so important. It's something that everybody experiences, and they've called this the being tested by Satan in the desert or something. That's what it is. You are basically having all the parts within yourself, the dark parts, who are you, who are afraid of the enlightenment and the light. And, as you're about to jump to a higher level of consciousness, suddenly rushing up and appearing, and doing all kinds of weird things, and it's a normal process. You will never be rejected by the one, because the one knows that this is a normal process. Do not ever go into the idea that you are being judged or there is guilt.
Yeah.
If you could imagine the one watching you on the higher level, whatever level you're trying to reach, and just smiling and laughing at this, because it's really nothing.
Yeah.
But it's something that needs to be addressed, because it does block many of us, and it's a weapon, if you want, used by the what I call somehow the dark cloud, in order to keep us in this prison without bars, or in this cave with the door opening,
Absolutely.
Which is, and that's a very classic trick that's used on us.
Yay. Well, yeah, let's do a whole thing on that. If you're open to that, I'd love to do that. It's an amazing topic and extremely relevant in these times, especially when you're practicing something like remote viewing and remote influence, your course, and doing anything like we do. Stuff's going to come up, and it's good to know what it is and how to deal with it, and what perspective to hold, because the shame, guilt, fear trinity is holding so many individuals in extreme bondage.
Yes, as I said in the message that I wrote after getting the communication from the one on December, at the end of December 2011 for 2012, this is the most perfected weapon used by the dark side, is shame and guilt.
Mm-hmm.
I know for experiences when I'm connecting to the higher realms, if I ever come with this perspective, I'm sorry, or show any guilt, they literally cannot stand that. It's not part of their beliefs. They don't operate like this.
And they beg you, please don't ever get into, don't show guilt nor shame. We always think we have to be modest and then bow down in shame and saying I'm a worm, crawling the earth. And at first it took me a while to realize that it's exactly the opposite. They want us to recognize our magnificence, not to believe that we're worms having to ask for forgiveness all day long for past sins.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's what has kept all of creation within bondage.
So where's the place, where's the position, what's the sort of correct use of humility in the, how do you blend humility? Like I really resonate with the spiritual warrior archetype, and I feel that that's a hugely significant piece in how massively misunderstood it is, and what we see in the world, the outpicturing on the battlefields of the world, and in many cities and families and homes, and indeed inside people, is this dysfunctional warrior archetype that is expressing in an extremely dysfunctional way. And I always feel that when you first turn, in any moment when you turn to the one, or you shift into that attitude of we are the one, and therefore I need to embrace my neighbor as myself, etc. There's a constant oscillation. If you're consciously walking the path, there's a constant oscillation away from that, and a call, therefore, to consciously reconfigure your awareness and your attitude so that you're existing in that more and more and more and more. And that movement back into being awake, we could say, from the dream state or the enchanted state of the ego requires that that's the movement there where the spiritual warrior is engaged, and it's the only movement that actually needs is its engagement, and then it can completely be disengaged, and the lovers can be the dominant archetype or the
right.
or the child, the Puhera Turnus. But this organization of your mind, getting hold of your mind, getting hold of your physiology, getting hold of your attitude, and shifting it into this higher state of awareness through this warrior archetype, and I feel a humbling, an attitude of humility, and what the Hawaiians call ho'oponopono, where you're talking to yourself. You're basically, it's the lower self admitting that it's wandered off the path again and saying, I'm sorry, higher self, which is an attitude of humility. Please forgive me, which is an acknowledgement of the power that exists in the higher self. I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you, the opportunity for communion and a woman, and then they thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, the claiming of it, that it's already done. Like Jesus said, pray as if you've already received
yes.
the thing.
Right, it's already done, yeah.
Because
this is basically what in that prayer, what you're doing, you're taking the perspective of the lower self talking to the higher self. And
yeah.
In our world, we live in a world where we judge each other, therefore we think that the higher self is judging us, or the higher selves are judging each other, or God is judging everybody. So it is normal that we are asking for forgiveness. If you had the perspective of the higher self, you would never say, please forgive me, because that would not even be understood. There is no. There is a difference between human humility and divine humility. Divine humility is the real humility. You have to have divine humility, which is a sign of divinity, which means that you all realize as a divine that you are not superior, never superior to anybody else, because you're only the one. There cannot be a superior part. Nor are you inferior to anybody else. You just are. You're just operating where you're operating now, but you're still the one in full perfection. Do you understand? So you know, it's like Jesus saying, like, my father and I are the same, but my father is greater than me. It doesn't mean that he's putting himself in a state of inferiority. He's just saying, this is the fact, you know, he's the one, and I'm operating in a semi-restricted manner, of course, because I'm human here, or I'm the inner son, and I'm doing what I'm doing, but I'm still the one, and there's no sense of inferiority. That's humility. That's divine humility. And when you have powers, as you start going to higher levels, the trap, and that's, you've seen this on and on in spiritual gurus, the trap is that they associate the power with themselves. It has nothing to do with themselves. If they were, the problem is that they're not yet aware that they are the one. If you are the level of the one, you wouldn't think of yourself as being powerful, or and allow your ego to feed on out of, you know, feed off it, because it doesn't make any sense. The one has no ego, zero. It's impossible for the one to feel ego. If you live, so the state of humility is to realize no matter where you are, you're perfect. You know, there is no punishment, there is no reward, there's just a trip. We're all on a trip together. And we are trying to make that trip a harmonious trip together as one family. Instead of the disastrous, disharmonious trip that we have until now allowed ourselves to be part of. That's all. And we are not just the lower self. When you're saying, you're talking to your higher self, the higher self is you. Of course the higher self forgives you. Are you there?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree absolutely, bro.
Yeah. And I do agree that, coming back, that divine humility is very important, but it has been misunderstood as human humility, you know, crawling on the floor saying, I'm just a little worm in front of your... This is not the attitude you should have in front of the one.
Absolutely.
In front of the one needs love, not worship.
Mm.
Because it is love.
Wonderful. Well, Gerald.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank you so much for this.
Yeah, thank you all.
To our superheroes. And they gain access to snippets of your material, some of the written stuff that you've been sending, and some snippets of some of the training that you do.
Yeah.
Would you just love to just share a little bit about the training and where anyone who's really drawn to your work can get fully into it?
Sure. They can go to our website is www.probablefuture.com. And there is a lot of interviews, a lot of information. You can download a free ebook on exactly what I was talking today. And they have to understand that the training is not here to give you powers again. The training is to align you first through remote viewing. You align yourself with the universal mind of mankind, and you will automatically get all the enlightenment and higher vibrations that come with it. And through the remote influencing part, you're starting to align with the totality of the One. So you work first on your inner Jerusalem, and then you start working on the outer Jerusalem. It's pretty much explained to you, and there is a lot of talking to your lower part of the subconscious to take away the fear of that part has in encountering its own self on a higher level. And that's why it's so powerful. It's really a body of techniques that are integrated as one, and they bring you, you've experienced that. They really open you up, and then you're on your own. You know, the cage is open. Just fly. We're all birds. We have wings.
Love it.
You know, no one is going to tell you where to fly. Just fly.
Mm.
We're all angels in disguise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. That says in the Course in Miracles, that all I ever gave you was angels and miracles.
Yeah.
That's all there is behind it all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's all about proving that. And, yeah, what fun it is. What a joyful adventure this is.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Gerald, for reminding us.
Thank you. And I really appreciate you a lot, Nick. I know the work you're doing. And I know that you're helping many people fly. And that's what we're here for. To be free and fly.
Absolutely.
We can all do it. And we will all do it.
Yeah. Looking forward to more conversations with you and hosting you out here in Kauai. And we'll be talking again soon.
Yes, we will.
Okay, Gerald.
Okay. All right.
Many blessings, brother.
You same to you. Many blessings to you, my friend. Okay, and I will be in touch very, very soon.
Okay.
Thank you for the wonderful interview, for the opportunity to share what I needed to share tonight.
Yay, fantastic, mate. Love
Thank you,
brother.
Love you,
Aloha.
Too. Aloha. Bye.